Okay, cool. I think I got it all up and running.
Wonderful.
Yeah, let's start this. I feel like I know so many great theme designers and developers in the community.
Yeah.
And when people tend to write tutorials or talk about what they're doing with themes, it tends to be really specific. Like, here's a technical how to do this. And I kind of wanted to just have a conversation more in general about themes. And you were kind of top of the list of people I wanted to talk to, just because I've been following you for about 5 years. And I feel like you've really evolved in terms of what you're doing, both in terms of like the design and then also in terms of like your business, starting on Theme Forest and then going to OK Themes and now with Array. So
yeah.
I thought it would be interesting just to go through and talk about all that stuff.
Yeah, that's great. I kind of miss people chatting about more generally. I think that stuff kind of disappeared for some reason, and everyone, yeah, like you said, they go more technical with chats. So it's great.
Cool. So let's start it off. You want to just introduce yourself and kind of where you're from and where you work and kind of how you first got into doing themes?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Illinois, just a little cornfield town called Ottawa, where not much news gets in or out. So yeah, I started in Illinois. Fast forward several years. You know, I started to get interested in design pretty early. I didn't really ever think of it as a career, but I kind of, you know, I always took notice of, you know, typography and stuff like that. So when it came time to go to college, which, you know, they tell everyone to do, that was the thing that I looked into, and I started going for design, graphic design. And I made it about 2 years before I just couldn't justify going for the cost, because here I am at this point, I had started taking on, you know, client side projects, and, you know, I was doing identity work and business cards and all this stuff. And then I would go to class and they would be trying to teach me how to use just super outdated software. I think like Adobe Go Live. And I mean, even at that time, it was like a year or two outdated even then. So it was like, okay, I'm paying money out of pocket for them to tell me this stuff and it's already outdated. I could already use the whole like Adobe suite at that point. So I decided to stop going and just make a run at, you know, starting my own business. And at the time, it wasn't anything website related. It was just, I was just getting a lot of design work. So I rolled with that for maybe a year before one of my clients, he would always ask me if I did web work. And I said, no, I wasn't really into that. And then, you know, one day he asked me again, and I said yes. I was like, yeah, I can do websites. And I just made it up. I totally couldn't build a website, but I had like enough experience because, you know, I grew up in the GeoCities boom, and I was familiar enough with it because I've just always been a nerd. So, you know, that's what started it. And I took that as a challenge, and I built my first website, which happened to be for a client, and it turned out pretty well.
Is it still up?
You know, let me see real quick here.
I think the first theme I ever built for someone is still up, and I go look at it, and I'm like, yeah, it's actually pretty decent. They're still using it. Six years later, so it's pretty cool.
Wow, no, it's not up, and even the domain goes to GoDaddy, so they've probably moved on. But yeah, it is interesting to go back and look at that stuff, and I think, you know, as soon as like, or as recently as like a year or two ago, I did revisit some of them, and they're atrocious in a way, but in another way, it's like, okay, I was pretty new to that. It wasn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's the only way to really learn this stuff is to agree to do something that you actually do not know how to do and then figure it out. And I think everyone does that. Like I have a buddy who's a landscaper, and mm-hmm. you know, his clients will ask him to, oh, can you like build a fence here? And he'll have no idea how to do it. And he just says, yeah, I'll build that. And then you learn it. And for the next client, you're ready to go and you have that knowledge. So
yeah, absolutely. And then you just make it, you know, you make a better fence the next time and you have a better fence. And then, you know, then you can build fences all of a sudden. And that's very much, I feel like, how a lot of people in our industry have come to it because of, like I was saying, the just inadequate collegiate, you know, education on this tech stuff. They fall behind so quickly because, you know, they love to use the same old textbooks they use, and the web just moves too fast for them to be teaching relevant stuff. So a lot of people are, you know, they get their degrees on Google, essentially, you know, looking through Stack Overflow and you know, WordPress, Stack Exchange. That's where I learned the ropes, you know, through many Google searches and many long nights of staying up late.
So when you were doing graphic design and identity work, you were doing mostly print materials, and then you did that first website, and were you like sold on it? Did you want to start doing more of that immediately, or how did that transition?
Yeah, I was a little skeptical, to be honest, because, well, having it be my first site, I was so thrown by some of the concepts coming into web development, of just, you know, just simple concepts of how the style sheet relates to an index file and all this stuff. You know, that's a pretty big hurdle to comprehend, coming from, yeah, basically print design. But it also was so far out of my field that it interested me even more. I was like, okay, I feel like I can do this. And then, you know, another big deciding factor was that it obviously pays more, you know, because at the time I was doing this, you know, and still to this day, you know, everyone's nephew is a graphic designer and can build a logo or a business card for you. And depending on your clientele, that might be all right for them. But, you know, websites was like another thing where it's like, well, still not everyone can build a website. So, you know, people are willing to pay a little bit more for that kind of expertise. So, yeah, so I, at that point, I did kind of catch a little bit of a bug with it. Like, okay, this is exciting. I don't really know much about it. And there's like opportunity to like, you know, pivot and go into a new direction. So that's what I did.
And when did you find WordPress?
Yeah, I probably built maybe 10 full websites before I ran into WordPress. And that was another thing where I was like, I just didn't really understand WordPress when I found it. I was like, okay, I understand it's like for blogging, but I didn't, the concept of themes and theming and how, you know, you could change it and do all this stuff, it was very new. But yeah, once I found that out, that was another thing. I was like, I have to start working with this. And then, like many people, once you find out that you can build websites with WordPress and your clients can manage them, I mean, it's invaluable. So yeah, I started doing that immediately, and probably for 2 years or maybe 3 years after that, built client websites solely on WordPress. That's what I did for a number of years until, yeah, it led into, you know, like ThemeForest. It's like another medium. Like, okay, well, now people want to buy these themes. What do you mean? They want to buy them.
Wait, what time frame are we talking for all that client?
Yeah. So let's see. I probably did. So I left school at my the end of my second year. So then I probably did client work for 3 or 4 years, maybe 3 years. And then right into that, and yeah, that would have led up to about 2008 when I ran into ThemeForest, I think. Yeah, 2008.
Okay, so you've been working with WordPress long time, maybe even before me.
Yeah, maybe. I actually don't know exactly when I ran into it, but it had to have been, yeah, in that timeline, it would have been pretty early. But I do remember, you know, I wasn't around for like the super early versions where, you know, it didn't look anything like it does now. I do remember some of the early stuff, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. So you were making those themes for clients, and I know Theme Forest came around. What made you think that you wanted to put themes on Theme Forest? Was it? Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, I was actually very hesitant. I thought it was kind of a scam, to be honest. I don't know if, I think most people know of this website called like Template Monster or something like that.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, that was kind of already in the works at the time, and I kind of also thought that was a scam. I was just like, well, what is this like open marketplace where people buy stuff? It just felt wrong. So when I ran into ThemeForest, I kind of felt the same way. I was like, I'm not going to put some my work on here like for all these people to potentially steal it or whatever. I just didn't understand. But
felt like a scam. How come? Because you thought people were just going to download it and sell it to their clients for a ton of money? Or
There was just no precedent that I knew of at the time of a WordPress theme marketplace like that, you know. So the idea that they were going to give me a cut of money and I was to like trust that they would do that and that like this place would make sales for me and stuff like that, it was just a little hard to believe at the time given how hard I was working to make client websites, you know. So yeah, I guess maybe not a scam, but I was very hesitant. But after I saw that people were actually using it, because it kind of grew pretty quickly even from the beginning. I had a WordPress theme that I was just kind of playing around with for, I don't know, my own design experiments or whatever. And I ended up putting it on there. And the first couple days it made sales and I was like, okay, is this like actually happening? Am I actually making money or is this still part of the like ploy? You know, and then you get your first payout and then it's actually in your PayPal account. And then it's like, okay, well, this changes things. Yeah, like this is a different world that I'm in. So I essentially stumbled into it much like I did websites in general, just kind of through experimentation and, I don't know, my weird curiosities.
Yeah, what was that first theme that you put up? What sort of a design or what sort of niche were you going with?
Yeah, what was that, I wonder? It was called Blue Light, but I don't know what I would classify it as. I wonder if, let's see here. Now the demo's been taken down since. But it was a very, had a little bit of a skeuomorphic feel to it. I remember it had some textures and of course it had a slider on the homepage right up there at top slider. And it probably didn't work well, I imagine. These days, you know, you can anticipate what a user is going to do, but back then I just made themes for clients. So to then change that mindset of like, well, now a bunch of people are going to use this and how does the average person use it out of the box? It probably didn't work well then, but it sold well. It sold well enough, I think, probably due to the fact that there wasn't a ton of themes on there. But I was happy to see that it was actually doing decently.
Yeah, I actually think that leap is pretty huge from developing a site for a client where you kind of have an idea of what's going to go on there to doing a general release theme where you have no idea how people are going to use it. And certain things get extremely hard, like menus is one of the hardest things. Yeah. I have, like, if you know your client's only going to have 4 menu items, you can float that up there, no problem. But if you have to account for 1 menu item and 200 menu items, that really changes
absolutely
things. Did you have like a lot of those kind of learnings when you first started selling themes on ThemeForest, or what were some of the first challenges you hit?
Yeah, some of the first challenges I remember were kind of the way the home pages were set up. So I, you know, being a little naive at the time, I would build these things in a very specific way of like, well, this is how the home page is supposed to look. So use the option to put a little piece of text in here and here and here and then put your slider items in or whatever. But not accounting for the fact that maybe somebody didn't want to put text there. And if they didn't, there would just be like a blank area where there would supposed to be text, you know. And it didn't help at the time either that CSS wasn't as fluid and elegant as it is now. So, you know, the fallbacks for that just weren't great. So they would potentially have these pages that had these little patches where they didn't want to put text or something, whereas these days we just add conditionals to say, like, hey, if they don't put text in here, don't show the area, and, you know, rearrange the layout accordingly. Just a lot smarter templating and stuff like that. But I'd say that, and just also going from dealing with clients to then supporting commercial products, which is something I'd never done, and you just can't anticipate any of that. You know, managing customers, and then all of a sudden you don't have one bug, you have like 50 when you got like all these people, you know, looking at your theme and stuff. So it's quite a big learning curve and kind of scary, but at the same time, when you're in it and you're doing it, it's not as frightening. I would say dealing with people was a pretty hard one for me. Just getting used to being super polite to every single person who asks you a question, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's important though.
Even when it angers you to no end, you know?
And so did you, like, consciously make... I assume you're doing just all theme work now. Mm-hmm. Or you're not doing any client work anymore, right?
Yeah, I think, maybe 4 years ago now, I stopped doing client work. I've been doing themes full-time .
And did your revenue just get up to a place where you could support yourself on that? Or what was that transition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about time at that point. It was like, well, the amount of time that I could put into a theme is going to the longevity of the revenue is more, you know. Whereas you build a client project, could take you the same amount of time or longer because they have iterations and they have requests and you have to like fulfill those. But then you get one payout and that's done. So I was making more money doing themes, and I didn't have to answer to a client. Instead, I had to answer to, like, you know, 500 people instead, which I thought was better at the time. But the revenue started to make sense, and it was like, okay, well, and at the time that I did jump into full-time themes, it wasn't like a super comfortable transition. I knew I was even still taking a risk back then, but it felt right, and ultimately it was a good decision, but it was a hard decision to make, definitely.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you make it sound good, and you get this recurring revenue, and, you know, you can work on the projects that you want to work, but do you think, you know, that's a leap that everyone should make who's, you know, developing themes for clients, or does it take, like, a certain type of personality or a certain, you know, skill set or something to do that, do you think?
Yeah, I would say that no, I don't think anybody can or should do it, because it does take a very particular, I mean, it's a thankless job in a lot of ways, and it takes a lot of work to get up and running as a respectable theme shop. I mean, as we all know, and people hate to hear this, people deny it all the time, that WordPress theme world is a saturated place, but it is. You posted a list a while ago, I think it was the Alexa rank of like the top, you know, 50 shops or something like that. And on that list, I didn't know myself, and this was like months ago, I didn't know 75% of the theme shops on there, maybe 50%. Right. There's just so many people doing it, and there's so much competition that unless you're up for like a good amount of work, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. But you know, if you have a little bit more of an entrepreneurial spirit, then yeah, heck yeah, do it.
And you want to spend a number of years sort of working on that and building up your customer base. Do you think like it's easier for someone maybe to enter like a niche market in WordPress themes if that's something they really want to do, or what would you recommend to someone who might want to start and get into it?
Yeah, that's a great point. I would say start with a niche. Especially if you already have a little bit of experience in it, because likely you might know some people in that area, and you can jumpstart your customer base a little quicker in doing that. And generally speaking, I think those niches do well, depending on the kind. But like I said, it's really hard to these days as well because of the amount of competition. But at the same time, not everybody's doing it really, really well. So if you are if somebody's considering coming out and doing something, there's still plenty of room to like do something very well. People will notice, as long as you're honest about it and you're actually doing good work. There's still plenty of opportunity. And do I want to recommend starting on a marketplace? That's really tough.
Yeah, because you've made the transition from ThemeForest to OK Themes, like your own mm-hmm. site, and now it seems like you're making an even bigger change to sell directly through your site and not at all in a marketplace. You want to talk about that? I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's obviously much easier to start at a marketplace because you're given endless amounts of traffic. I mean, even it doesn't matter what marketplace you're even speaking of, ThemeForest, Creative Market, whatever. These sites have millions of people visiting a month. So right off the bat, you get traffic, which is like notoriously the hardest thing to get going. You have people who are looking to buy things in these places. That's why they're there most of the times. You have, in some instances, marketing from these people. They will promote their own site, and in doing so, they could cross-sell your stuff. You get a lot of benefits starting at the marketplace. The downside, though, is that you're sort of in a contained environment. A lot of these places have licenses that restrict certain ways that you can sell things. And I can't speak to a Creative Market, I guess, but I sold on ThemeForest, and the idea there is that you're either exclusive and you sell your themes on there alone, or you're not exclusive and you sell your themes on there and another site for a lower compensation, a lower percentage. I think it's 33%. So it's really hard to say whether or not I would recommend that. But yeah, if you could even start on a marketplace to test the water, see if your products have potential. See if it's something you're interested in. You can definitely get a feel for working with these customers and sort of the workflow of creating themes, doing bug fixes, deploying them and that stuff. It's a great way to test the waters to see if you're actually interested in it without committing a whole lot of your time or resources to like building a whole site. My evolution through the marketplaces took several years to get to releasing OK Themes, and then a few more years of like just constantly beating at it and making it better and better and better to get to Array. So, but I would say that my success was definitely rooted in the fact that I started on ThemeForest and then created a name for myself and then sort of extracted myself, which is it's very hard to do. You don't see a lot of people making it through the through the different levels and then ultimately coming out and still interested in WordPress themes and having a business.
Do you have any themes on WordPress.org? I'm just curious.
No, not yet, but very soon actually.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about that, I was just thinking I have a couple themes on WordPress.org, and I feel like it's the same sort of trial by fire. You have to submit it, you get a really good code review, and then mm-hmm. you get a lot of people using your theme and asking for support, and it kind of gives you an idea of whether that's something you actually mm-hmm. want to do on a daily basis. The difference, though, is on a marketplace, you're potentially making money, whereas on .org, you're not. So
yeah, it's funny how that works because, with launching Array, I wanted to get listed on the .org repository in the theme section, but in order to do so, you have to have, a theme on WordPress.org and then a few other things. So it's funny how now I've gone like the reverse way. I've done the themes for money, And then now it's like, no, I do. I genuinely want to give like a theme to people. I hope that it doesn't destroy me as far as support goes and stuff, but I'm happy to now be able to, you know, I can afford to like give things away to people. And I really think that that's important. And it's unfortunate that I haven't had anything on there yet, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, some people talk about how, you know, giving themes or plugins away for free kind of ruins the marketplace, but I think in a lot of ways it actually strengthens it, because you, the more people that are using WordPress who are able to find a theme they like and end up starting with WordPress, mm-hmm. they're brought into the ecosystem, and then eventually they might need or want a premium theme, or eventually they might want a premium plugin. So, you know, over time, it's great to be able to pull people in with these great free themes and then see where that takes them. So
absolutely, absolutely.
So we talked a little about On Theme Forest, and you hinted at some of the reasons why you moved to OK Themes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about that more? Or do you
feel sure. Like it's pretty easy, or pretty simple actually. The you know, I sold On Theme Forest for a few years, and then I was just getting really frustrated with the restrictions of not being able to sell my themes elsewhere, unless I drop down my exclusivity, which is a huge drop in revenue, obviously. So my idea at the time was like, well, maybe I'll just make another little side thing, and I'll have some themes on Theme Forest and some not. So that's when I was like, okay, well, I'm going to design this thing. And the name OK Themes, I don't even remember where that came from. I was trying to be kind of folksy, kind of a little more friendly. Or, you know, everyone tries to be so serious and like the best thing ever. Uh-huh. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like people have kind of lost the little innocent attitude that it all started with. So I named it OK Themes, and that's what I did for, since about 2010, I think I launched that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And now you just announced that you're rebranding the website's Array is. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious what brought you to that.
Yeah, it was another set of frustrations, you know. This all started sort of last summer. I just knew that the work that I was creating didn't really match the name or the image that OK Themes had at the time. And that's partially due to, you know, my, you know, naming it originally. Maybe I didn't take it as seriously. I wasn't sure I was going to be doing WordPress themes in 2014. It seems crazy, mm-hmm. even thinking that now. So, I reached a point last summer where that happened. I sort of had this realization of like, well, okay, I can either decide to keep going with this, or I can sort of rework it and sort of put a new twist on it. That, and then just some other frustrations at Theme Forest, some business frustrations that weren't happening like I thought they should. So, I think in September, I just decided for sure. I was like, okay, no, I'm gonna start doing this. And I was going on vacation soon, so I thought like, once I get back from vacation, I'll start building it out. And that's what I did. I got back from Thailand the end of October and beginning of November, and started working on Array. And that that took about four months. I just launched two days ago. So that whole time I've been working on Array, as well as, you know, helping manage support and managing Theme Forest and WordPress.com and all that stuff. So
yeah, I think the new site looks great, and I really like your post announcing it, where you kind of talked about all the contractors who helped you out and what pieces you use. I love it when people share kind of their process behind things. And I thought it was really interesting. I saw that you had worked with Eric Ford, and I think his agency is Heavy now.
Yeah,
is
Heavy, right? Heavy. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he's a theme designer too, and he also sold On Theme Forest. And I was kind of curious why you reached out to him, and Because I know you're a fantastic designer. And so why would a designer hire a designer to kind of help them with the rebranding of their site?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question. Eric Ford and Stephen Darby, they run a design studio, I think, out of San Antonio called Heavy Heavy. I almost knew, it's weird, I almost knew immediately, once I finally came up with the name Array, which was after, from the summertime until about September, where I was just contemplating what it was going to be, and everything felt so contrived and blah, blah, blah. Eventually I came to Array, it came very naturally. I was like, okay, that sounds good. Let's build it. And then, I almost knew immediately. I could very well build a logo, design a logo myself. But I thought, what a great opportunity to work with Eric and Steve Darby, because I very much appreciate their work and their aesthetic. I feel like it's, similar to mine, although a little cleaner in some ways. And they were launching this heavy studio, and I thought, what a great time to work together with them on something, because I'd wanted to do it for a while. So we had a few chats, a few Skype calls, and it was decided that, they would design the logo. And actually, Darby was the one who pretty much spearheaded the design work, I believe. And that happened, that was a great process, because, I've done everything myself up until about this year, and it's great, but it's also great working with people and getting some different perspectives. And what Steve did with the logo, ultimately, it influenced other parts of the design of the site, which I did do all of myself, which was also great, because it was just this anonymous source of inspiration that I didn't expect. And I was like, okay, well, I can sort of design around this and work with this. So mm-hmm. it was a great process working with somebody else for that.
Do you think you might ever work with someone in the future to do theme designs or do more collaboration of that sort?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I very much still enjoy the fact that I'm able to design and develop my themes. I just dread the day that I become the guy where I'm just answering emails, which is, I feel like, comes with a lot of, theme shops like this. Somebody has to be at the top answering emails, but I just dread that, and that's, I always have, and it's just because I very much enjoy working on themes and writing code and learning code. So potentially I would get into that, but I feel like my business will shift in a way that I can still code before mm-hmm. I ultimately reach out for other designers.
Cool. And in that post, it said too that you have a support person now, and mm-hmm. you were working with another developer. I don't know if that was full time or not, but
yeah.
How's it been going from someone who does absolutely everything to having a bigger team? Was that difficult?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is difficult because the reason I've worked alone for so long is because, excuse me. I'm a very particular man with my details, and I like things done like a very, not, that sounds weird, like I'm not particular in the way things are done, but I want them to look like they've been detailed and nice and everything. And, I've tried to work with a few people in the past, and it's just ultimately not the best. So, I actually started working with this guy named John Paris at the beginning of this year. And it's been wonderful because he's very much like myself. He anticipates the things that I would do, and sort of he's very detail oriented. So it went from being a hard thing to do to now being like, wow, I can't believe I was not working with somebody before. Uh-huh. It's been really great. And yeah, it takes some of the load off of me, so I can still design, develop, and manage the operation. And he can help. And we have a guy named George who helps out with support. And we're all sort of doing support, but he's mostly doing support. So it's been wonderful having some help. And it also helps when you have good people that you can get along with and just respect their space, let them do what they need to do on their time, and they do it, and it works out really well. It's very cohesive.
Cool. Do you think you'll continue to grow as the business grows, or are you going to try and maybe limit it in some ways?
Yeah.
Not get too big.
Right. In a way, I mean, I hope to grow the client base, the customer base, and grow in a way that more people know about Array. But I really don't have any intentions of becoming the go-to theme shop. I don't think we'll have the most sales in the industry, and I honestly don't want that. I never have, and that's why my business has stayed small and manageable, because like I was just saying, I don't want to be the guy answering emails, and I don't want that to be what my business is on the internet. So as long as I can help it, I will keep writing the code and everything. And I just imagine, because our themes are particular and they might be a little bit higher priced than some people, but not really, that naturally controls the amount of sales. I'm not going to have like a huge, huge boom of sales, so that it kind of naturally manages itself. Yeah,
interesting. I'm glad you brought up price, because I remember a post you did a number of years back now. I think I'm not sure exactly when that was, but you were really critical of like the $35 price point that most themes were selling at that time. And now I feel like it's just been in the last half a year or so, Woo Themes did a big price raise, and a lot of other theme companies have kind of been raising their prices, and it's not really unusual to see stuff in the $75 to $99 range.
Sure.
And I'm kind of curious, do you think that prices have reached kind of a fair value? Will they continue to go up? Do you think what's going on is sustainable?
That's tough. Yeah, that post was in 2011, and I just know that because somebody today kind of called me out on my higher, quote-unquote, higher theme prices. And I referenced that post, and in it, I think I said like $125 was a reasonable price at the time for themes. And yeah, it's hard to, the reality of building a theme and supporting it, it costs a lot of money. Like if I do 1 hour of support for one customer over the course of a year, and if my rate is a reasonable $70 an hour for a developer, at my current prices of $69, I've already lost $1 just by supporting it, and that doesn't cover the cost of design and development and maintaining the themes at all. So, for us, for the people on the end of it that are selling themes and making them, of course we see them as much more valuable, but you have to operate within the market. And even though some people are raising their prices, which is great to see, there's still that other end of it where people are still racing to the bottom to have the lower price. And it's very frustrating, because you have some people who get it and some people who don't. Like these super values of like, what, at $40 for an entire collection of themes for a year. That's insane. How is that even sustainable? I don't know. I still don't feel like they're entirely at fair value, and I don't know if we'll ever get there just because of the nature of the beast, but it is nice to see people raising their prices. And I didn't hesitate to, I was very confident about setting mine at $69, coming from Theme Forest where the max was $55. I felt very limited by that. So, and I've since launching, I've had enough sales to know and feel comfortable that we're not doing anything unrealistic with our pricing. I mean, it's pretty standard pricing, to be honest.
I think pricing is really interesting, and I don't know, you live in the same city as Nick of Elegant Themes. Have you ever chatted with him? Because I think they're doing really well, but maybe the reason is because they were one of the few to always do a recurring payment.
Right.
And so you get a customer once, but instead of just paying once, you have them for you know, 5 years or 10 years, and sure, over time that builds. And
yeah,
so that's maybe another way to do it. Are you guys doing recurring pricing? And
no,
did you think about that?
Yeah, I did think about that. And that's, yeah, it's a very tricky thing as well, because you know, the whole thing behind Array and developing it, when I started, I was like, I'm not going to inconvenience anybody in the least bit while doing this. Like, this is going to be the most organic way of selling themes. I'm not going to put a bunch of weird call to actions and a bunch of weird tactics to, like, lead people to a page where they, like, are tricked into buying something. You know, like, I want the customers who want to buy the stuff. And I just want the most honest transaction. So I decided not to automatically renew people's subscriptions or whatever they're called based on that. Come back to us if if they come back and they want supporter updates and they're out of their license, they can just renew it for a discounted price. I think that's a very fair way of doing that. And then we don't have to deal with those emails of people like, why in the hell would you renew my thing and I didn't agree to this and all, you know. It's like, I don't want to answer those questions. I don't want to, like, deal with angry people. I just want everyone to be, you know, cool and respectful to each other. But I've never chatted with Nick, although one time I did see him on a bus, which was funny because I knew what he looked like. And I knew who he was, and I was writing down, I don't remember where I was going, but I saw him on a bus and I was like, he probably doesn't even know who I am. I'm not going to introduce myself or anything like that. But yeah, I'm curious about their model. With their model, obviously the volume has to be pretty big to make that work. And then, you know, subsequently you're probably dealing with a lot of support. I'd be curious to know how much support they're doing, but yeah, I'm all right with my model for now. I chose two options instead of the standard three that most people do. Just buy one or buy them all. That's all that there is to it.
And they get updates and support for forever or for a limited time?
Nope, it's yearly. So yeah, okay. You purchase for $69, you can get a theme, or $199. And you get the same thing. You get a year of support and updates, or if you buy the theme pass, it's called, for $199, you get support, updates, and all the new themes that were released within the year of your, you know, membership or subscription.
So you are doing, like, a subscription-based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know it takes a ton of time to, like, update themes and keep them current, and if you just sell it once and support forever and updates forever, that's difficult to maintain. So I've noticed a lot of theme shops kind of moving to that model, so
yeah,
kind of makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah,
cool. Well, I think we've hit pricing to death. I guess kind of the last sort of stuff I wanted to talk about was just, like, design and talk about building themes and how that works. Just curious, like, what are your best-selling themes, and why do you think that is?
Yeah, so let's see here. Pocket is probably my best-selling theme. It's, people who don't know, it's just a little blogging theme, a little photo blogging, I guess you would say. It's like one column. It's got a widget area in the bottom, but it's just stupidly simple theme that I built over a weekend, literally. And it kind of blew up. People, like, really loved it. And I don't know if it was because it just was so starkly different from the crazy complex themes that everyone was putting out. But yeah, it took off pretty well. And that actually sort of started a little bit of a revolution in my own development. When I was, you know, sitting there thinking, wow, we put in so much time for these, like, portfolio themes and all this, you know, building these full themes and stuff. And then here comes Pocket, and people love it. They're purchasing it, and they're vocally happier with that than some of these other themes. So I was like, well, obviously I have to gear my development and design sort of a little more this way. It's easier on me because I don't have to like write as much crazy code or any more complex code. The support for Pocket and themes like it are just incredibly easy because it's hard to break. It's, you know, it's like a blog and you add photos to it. So the support is much lower. Just people generally enjoy using it more. And I enjoy it. It's sort of more my speed these days. So yeah, Pocket is one of the more popular ones. And it's just one called Slate, which is at this point is my oldest current theme that I'm still selling. But it's just a very simple white one. It's got some like portfolio and unfortunately has a slider somewhere in there. Don't tell anybody. Yeah, those style of themes, the like clean ones, they seem to be what people are preferring, and I feel like I'm going to be sort of going in that direction even more.
Cool. What are some of the challenges kind of building a theme like Pocket? Like what sort of design details do you really think about?
Yeah, the one challenging thing that I've found that sort of started happening after Pocket was that with these simpler themes and the sort of the emergence of responsive design, and now, you know, simplicity is sort of making a comeback, is that now you're competing with all of these like super, super simple and almost under-designed, almost like, you know, blueprint themes, because they're so like simple and they have the most basic features and styles that like now Pocket is competing with another blogging theme that looks is equally as simple to use and has the same sort of aesthetic. So it's I don't think that it was Pocket in particular, but that like super simple style is now something that you have to compete in. So you know, when you're designing it, that's where you sort of can separate yourself from them with the details that you choose to add in them. I was just you know, when we relaunched as Array, I went through each theme and we sort of reworked it and rewrote the code to sort of be up to not quite WordPress.com standards, but very close to it. So that, you know, they work well to go with the new site. But anyway, I was working on one called Typable, which is this tiny little theme. It's equally as simple as Pocket, and it has like a AJAX functionality to where you click like the header and it pops down, and you can click a post and then it slides up and the post is loaded. And I remember spending just an incredible amount of time testing the average time a post loads with like a photo in it or a video in it, and how, and the animation speed of the way the jQuery menu slid back up, so that by the time the menu slid up after you clicked it, the post was like fully loaded. And it was like, at the time, it was such a ridiculous detail to me. To even me, I was like, this is too far. Like nobody's gonna care about this. But then after I was going back just a few weeks ago and I was like going through it, I totally appreciated the time that I spent there, because I was like, wow, this actually works very fluidly. And I remembered like how much time I spent on it. And I was like, people will never notice this, probably never. But I hope that they subconsciously know that like, wow, that post was like loaded super nicely and smoothly by the time that menu closed. It's little stuff like that that I feel ultimately separates you know, my work from other people's work. But
I completely agree, because I actually bought the publisher theme of yours a while ago, and one of the things was I really liked a lot of those little details, and I kind of wanted to see, you know, how it worked, and I had a potential site to use it on. But just like I feel like there was a lot of time spent on the comments and how you had those little tabs where you could go to the different items, and it just like felt really clean. And I think, you know, that's not stuff that the user necessarily notices or know how much time it takes to build out stuff like that. But it, not everyone is doing it, because it does take that amount of time, and it does distinguish the themes, I think.
Some of those details I get lost in, and I'll be sitting working on something, and this little idea will hit me. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I have to try to do that and see if it works. And I'll get all the way through building it, and this will take hours later. And then after it's done building it, and I'm clicking around and seeing how it feels, because that's very important to me when I'm building themes. And that may be why it takes me so long, like upwards of a month sometimes, to go from beginning to end, is that like every little piece of it has to actually feel right when you're clicking around. How does the tab feel when you click it? Does it like snap right? Does it do this? But I'll get all the way through doing that, and then if it doesn't feel right, I have to scrap it. You know, it's just like, I'm not just gonna leave that in there because I built it. But if it feels right and it sort of adds something and doesn't confuse anybody in the process or alienate a feature of WordPress, I feel like it's a nice way of surprising somebody. Like, it's not often that I'm using a site or a theme or something, and I like, you know, go to click on something, I'm like delighted by the way it interacts or anything. But I feel like there's a lot being missed by people not, you know, there's not very much soul in WordPress themes these days. Not that mine are like these, like, you know, philosophically, you know, better themes or anything, but I do spend time on those details because I appreciate them.
Where do you get some of the inspiration for your themes? Are you looking at what other people are doing, or how do you kind of come up with some of those ideas?
Yeah, I just browse the Theme Forest homepage and then basically steal ideas from people.
You just download it, change the name.
Yeah, change the URL, and it's all good. It's funny. I don't get inspiration from places most people do. I feel like architecture will give me, you know, it's these weird abstract things. Like, I'll see a color, and then that, like, kind of gives me an idea for something, and then that manifests into something else. People, actually, you know, like designers, you know, I really like what Eric Ford, his style. It's just very neat and thoughtful, and I like that kind of stuff. But to be honest, I don't run into too much, like, you know, I don't run into too many WordPress themes that I see that I'm like, yeah, this has something I like in it. It's not to say that there aren't good designs out there, but I feel like I just I get my inspiration from these weird places.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever gets the job done, I guess.
Cool. Well, we're getting up to like an hour on the phone conversation here, so maybe we should wrap it up.
Yeah, but, sure.
I guess, like, is there anything, you know, you wanted to say that we didn't really get a chance to cover?
I mean, I don't think so. You know, with Array, we're not trying to, like, start a revolution or anything, but I feel like there is a lot being missed in details and the quality of things these days. You know, people shouldn't have to feel like they're rolling the dice when they buy a piece of software for such a major, you know, open source project like WordPress. That seems crazy. So, we just want to make honest things that people like and they're comfortable with. And so hopefully we can do that. We'll see.
Cool. Well, thanks for talking to me. It's been great to pick your brain about all this stuff.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. I've been a mutual fan since just who knows how long ago. I remember like trying to track you down to ask you questions about Options Framework when it just like first debuted, trying to like power my themes with it. I'm like, this is amazing. Who is this Devin guy, and why? Mm-hmm. How can I ask him questions? So it's awesome to be chatting with you at this point. We've both come a long way.